Welcome back to Furry Trash. I'm Rose Get in the Box, and this... Oh, hang on. This isn't my show. This is Shape for the Muzzle. Space, take it over.
Thanks, Ace. Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. I'm Space, and I welcome you to our very outside of the box episode. Today's show will be slightly different than what you're typically used to listening to, and I say that because I had some technical difficulties when attempting to do a guest interview, and rather than calling it quits, my guests and I came up with a different way of recording, and that was through Telegram voice messages. So, I am pleased to have the host from the Furry Trash podcast on our show today. And as with any of our guests in the past, why don't you go ahead and tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you do in the fandom.
Dia Gwyth, August Konezatatu, Ismisha Ace, August V, Makoni in Era. Hello, 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 Shape from the Muzzle Gang and listeners. My name is Ace. I am an Irish furry podcaster from Ireland, if the accent doesn't give it away. I've been part of the furry fandom for about 3 and a bit years, maybe 4 years now. I am, like I said, a furry podcaster. I run my own show called Furry Trash. I have some YouTube channel videos up there in the world, and I can be found on Instagram at GetInTheBox, Twitter at FTrashBot, and Spotify at Furry Trash.
So what got you into podcasting? Did you have any prior experience in this area, or did you just jump into the deep end like we did and then kind of struggle to float, but then eventually got used to it?
All right. So when I started my show, I personally didn't have any podcast experience, like the ins and outs of running a show and stuff. But over the years, I had listened to podcasts here and there, especially from YouTubers I like, such as The Try Guys, Hannah Witten, Claire Cullen, aka Clazaire, who's another Irish podcaster whose stuff I was actually on last week, and I did genuinely cry, and above all, Showmance, the podcast based on the TV show Glee, hosted by Jenna Oskowitz and Kevin McHale. Now, it's important to note here, I am Irish. I am very, very Irish. And it's a tradition, I would say, in all Irish houses to have at least one radio on at all times. Now, I've grown up in a household where the radio was constantly on, regardless if it's day, night, Monday or Sunday. It don't make a difference, the radio is going on. So when I decided to have a career in podcasting and having to break the news to my mother that the radios had to be off when I was recording, it was a very sad day for Ireland that day.
I'm sure it was a sad day. I would have not wanted to be in that house on the first day of that recording. As with any podcast, having guests on an episode is a given. Who are some of your favorite guests you've had the pleasure of interviewing?
Okay, yikes. So hard question there. When it comes to past guests, I'm like a parent with children. I don't have any favorites per se, regardless if I have one episode or 100 episodes, they will all be my favorites. I am so incredibly thankful for every single past guest I have on in the past, from episode 1 with Nagasaki right up to next week's episode 43 with Furry Trans Boy. You know, I've gotten to talk to so many amazing people in the fandom, from Pineapple Fox to Shitani Cheetah to Raskel from the UK to Grimsome to Lanky Lunatic to Jack Hyena in Ireland to Lady Nightlight, who is Ink's Maker. You know, they are all the same platform to me. Not gonna lie, some people have been a bit starstrucky to talk to, like Kiwi Fox, for example. I spoke to him back in September or October, I believe. And throughout the whole time I was shaking because I was so nervous to talk to someone who had such a big following. So I have no favorites overall, but I am very thankful. And I would not know where I would be without these amazing, amazing people who take the chance on me. Because let's be honest about it, you know, the furry fandom is people. It's, you know, people coming together to create a community. So I'm so thankful for all the people who've come together to be on the show from America and Australia and England and Ireland, Northern Ireland, you name it, people have been on. And I'm so incredibly thankful. And I'm so incredibly amazed, overwhelmed, and just so heartwarmed by the response of everybody.
You know, I would have to agree with you on that. I was going to say it was a safe answer, but after thinking about it, I don't think it is. I think it's more or less personal preference. And as a host, you know, of all the guests that we've had, honestly, I'm just grateful that they even said yes to come on, because they have all these like popular friends and all of these people that they can go to at any given time. I'm sure they got a busy life, but they say yes to these little moments of 30 minutes or an hour or two to just say yes and to be interviewed. And it's such an honor, such an amazing honor. And I love it. And so each time that we do this, it's an individual and complete different experience each time we do it. And to pick one over the other, it would be just, it'd be like trying to pick your favorite child. And that would be just ridiculous. So, yeah, I would have to agree with you on that. Kind of going into, you know, a little bit of emotions here. I know that we've covered topics here on Surf of the Muzzle that get really emotional. And I've cried several times on the show, and I'm not afraid to cry at this point. I've learned to let my guard down. But I always wondered if other hosts have done that as well on their podcasts. And so I wanted to know, have you ever had topics that were hard on you emotionally? If so, do you mind sharing your thoughts on those types of episodes and what you may have learned and do during the process of producing them?
Oh boy, okay. There's been a few. For example, the episode with NHS worker Dino Suits, who back in June spoke to me about their experience working in the UK and COVID. It was a double-edged sword where, on one hand, I absolutely loved talking with them. We spoke about a very soul-draining topic of COVID, and I think the world is sick of talking about COVID, but I did genuinely enjoy the insight they had on that experience and how much it's impacted on them personally, but in their public furry life and in their private life off screen. But probably for me, the hardest episode was the one Pineapple Fox, where he shared his coming out story, which any LGBT member or ally will know and understand how tough that is for someone to go through, not only to share, but to express how they feel. And to have someone trust you with their experience with that situation was honestly so heartwarming. And even though I would never admit it, I did cry a little bit when editing that episode.
I always get emotional when it comes to stories from furries in regards to like LGBT coming out stories. And it's great. I love hearing when they're, you know, like the really positive ones. But sometimes we get emails in from our fans where there's not so great ones. And those are really hard to read. Those are the ones that don't always make it onto the show because it's just too hard emotionally. And it's painful too, you know, like you feel it, like you totally feel it. So, oh, geez, I'm getting a little emotional. I don't want to get emotional. This is a good episode. But I totally get where you're coming from. You know, part of being in the LGBTQ community, it's very understandable. A lot of the stories that go around, they're very emotional. So I get that. A little something that our listeners may not have known is that I actually did an interview on your podcast that should be coming out later this year, I believe. So I'm going to take a page from your interview of me and ask you, what has been the biggest struggle with making your show?
Okay, hands down, the biggest struggle is to keep going. Anyone who makes content independently will know how truly hard it is to make content on your own. Fumbling for motivation and ideas, then finding people who are down for it and actually wanting to do it. Prime example of this would be when I wanted to do the Brony episode back in like August or September, where I wanted someone who was a Brony and a furry to come on and talk about the origins of My Little Pony and the differences in both fandoms, and it nearly didn't happen until I put a tweet out, and then like the ninja they are, at Riskel, who was one of my Telegram admins, replied to that tweet, and before I knew it, it was recorded and ready to publish. But to end on a positive note, the biggest funny struggle would be editing my dog's snores out of episodes. My dog, Belle, who is a tiny Jack Russell who sounds like an elephant, likes to join me in recording. Now, which don't get me wrong, I do love the company, but I don't like having to do all the unnecessary jobs of editing her snoring out. I thought I was safe one time, actually, with that Brony episode, and I put the episode up to public and it was fine. And then I get a message from someone being like, oh, that's cute, the cool episode, whatever, but I didn't realize your dog snorts all out. So, you know, that was one of the downsides of having a dog in studio recording. And actually, it was mentioned again by Raskel when we did the birthday episode for Furry Trash back in January. I asked Raskel and a couple of past guests to come on and send in their voice messages for like a birthday messages and whatever. And one of the points they brought up, one of the favorite memories from Raskel, was talking about Belle snoring. Because like I said, she's a tiny Dark Russell. She's so small, but she sounds like an elephant. So yeah, that was honestly one of the most positive, unnecessarily like struggles of the show. But my lesson is learned. Don't bring dogs into studio because they will snore.
So it's really funny that you actually mention about bringing animals into the studio. I wouldn't say that we have studio. Like, I have my bed, like, our office. But Bean always has her birds in the background. And it's always been a part of, like, every recording. So it's usually Toby that's in the background. That's one of her birds. And you can always hear it just, like, tweeting. And it's just so funny. And so it's always, she's like, oh, sorry, Toby's just being loud. I'm like, eh, whatever, I'm used to it. And so are the listeners, no big deal. And we just always record. And so I don't think I've had anyone mention that they've heard the bird in the background. But they're definitely in there. I can hear them. So I think it's just funny. So I've gotten used to it. Not a big deal on my end. I know for a fact that Boomy has a German Shepherd, but I don't know if the German Shepherd's ever in the room when she's recording. And if so, I've never heard from him. So, but it would be cute if I ever heard from him as well. I don't have pets. I would love to have some pets, but I also don't want to have hair. So I guess I'll get a goldfish. Well, Ace, I definitely have enjoyed having you on the show, and I do thank you so much for putting up with the technical difficulties. If you guys must know, and I'm sure some may be wondering, well, what's the big deal? A couple of weeks ago, we had an internet outage, and our internet company thinks that because of the outage happened, it fried our router. Our current router. So every couple of, well, I guess ever since it was fried, like it would drop the internet randomly throughout the day. And so they sent us a new router, but it hadn't arrived yet. And so I'm like, okay, well, I need to record with Ace. And so it came to the day to do that. And as soon as we got onto Zencastr, internet dropped, and it dropped for like an hour. And I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? And then we're just like, okay, well, let's just record on Telegram. No big deal. So there's that. There's our biggest struggle. But it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. But before we let go, where can people find your show on the webs?
As for the internets, the easiest place to find me is probably Twitter, which is ftrashpod. Then Instagram, furry.or.trashpod. If you want to be fancy, my personal Instagram is getinthebox. But space, I will send you on the link to the owl link tree so people can come over to my neck of the woods and see what I'm all about. Thank you so much for having me on. Technical difficulties aside, on both ends, I really hope you enjoy editing this and listening to what I have to say. And I really hope your listeners enjoy this. Thank you so much again for having me on Straight from the Muzzle, and I will talk to you all soon. Bye!
Well, that was a really fun interview, and I enjoyed editing it as much as I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. But that is not the end of this episode. We still have some time to do a few other things. So I thought, why not answer some of your guys' questions? So I did ask a question on Twitter and in our Telegram group. Now, if you're not following us on Twitter, you can. It is just @FromTheMuzzle, and then you could just follow us. We do periodically ask questions throughout the week. Sometimes we ask questions for upcoming episodes. Sometimes we just ask questions just to engage with you. And the same thing in Telegram. Now we have a group where people can go in there and chat all they want to. And then periodically we will post questions in there for future episodes or just for us to engage with you as well. You'll also get more up-to-date information in regards to upcoming episodes or future projects that we may be working on than what you might find on Twitter. Now that particular link should be on our Twitter. If it's not, I'll make sure it's there. And then if it's not, it should be in the podcast information wherever you download your podcast. So let's get to question time. Now, there's not a lot of questions, really, but that's okay. So let's go to Twitter. So I asked if you could ask the team of Straight from the Muzzle anything, what would you ask? So the first question was from Outfoxed, and they asked, what are your guys' thoughts on VR cons? I think they're pretty cool, but a lot of weird stuff happens there. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I have not done a VR con yet, but I've seen tons of videos on YouTube to know what goes on there. As with anything in VR, if you guys don't know what Second Life is, Second Life, I mean, that would be as close as you can get without VR, is very interesting. And a lot of things happen there too. I wouldn't say Second Life is child friendly. It's the complete opposite. Let's just say I created an account once to go into Second Life for an episode, not for Surfing the Muzzle, but for media a long time ago. And I went into there, and the first thing that happened was someone shot a bazooka of like dildos at my face. And I'm like, well, that's a great way to welcome a new player. So I'm just like, whatever. And I really couldn't figure out anything. And so I just kind of left and I never went back. So I have heard some good things about VR cons. I don't want to go on YouTube right now. I know that there was a few people that were working on an exact replica of a convention, I believe in Europe. And they did like side-by-side shots of the actual pictures of the hotel and then what it looked like in the actual VR itself, and it was just spot on, like just perfect. So I think that's really cool. Like a lot of the graphics is just phenomenal. I think it's a great idea. It's a good thing to have, especially right now with the pandemic going on, and clearly it's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's here to be here for quite some time. VR cons it's a great way to still interact with people. And it's better than not going to a con, which we clearly can't go to right now. Now, there are things that still happen in there. You know, you're still going to get people that are going to do like naughty NSFW things or weird things. But for the most part, I think it's a really cool idea. It's just the only issue to really fully experience it, you have to have a VR headset and stuff and, like, I guess, gear. And that costs a lot of money. I think you can still do it through your computer, but it's just not as fun. So I guess like to really experience it, if you have that kind of money and you have that kind of gear, great. If you don't have it, like most of the furries out there, and like myself, I'm kind of cheap. But I'm also like, I mean, I like the finer things in life, but I also don't want to pay an arm and a leg for something. It's not something that's for me. I'm all about the future, but not when it comes to having to like live paycheck to paycheck and hoping that when I do get this gear that I understand how it works and then it's going to be a benefit for me in the end. So there's my answer to that. From at a good username 76. That's funny. They want to know, how's it like running a podcast? Is it fun? Is it stressful? So I'm just going to go ahead and just do a little bit of grammar there. Is it fun, comma, is it stressful, or is it fun, or is it stressful, or is it and or with the slash in between. I know. Anyways, it's both. So running a podcast is both fun and it's stressful. If you do it right, it should be more fun and not as stressful, especially with the new format that we have. I think it's a lot easier. I think someone asked that question later on. I think if I go, let me go look at my Telegram, make sure I'm not going on. Slushy Flamingo does ask that question. What's my opinion on the new format? So I'll go into the new format in just a minute. When it comes to like a podcast, we did do an episode on the costs of what it takes to run a podcast. You can do a lot of free options, but you're not going to get like the audience that you really need to build. You're not going to get as high quality as you really want to, but you can still get the basics. And if that's what you're going for, great. And that's a good start. It takes a lot of, a lot of time, a lot of dedication. You don't necessarily have to be like sociable, but you do need to have, I guess you could say, social skills. So you don't have to necessarily be sociable in person, but social skills online are a must. So you need to be able to interact with others online. You need to be able to talk with people freely. And because, you know, if you're running a podcast and you are the host, you need to be able to communicate with you and your listeners, your audience, be able to understand who your audience is, you know, where they're coming from. Ask them what they want to hear, because it's not necessarily what you want to talk about. It's also about what they want to hear. It's a two-way street. And I think a lot of podcasters may kind of think in their head, it's what I want to talk about. And at first, yeah, sure, it's what you want to talk about. But the stress part comes at is, well, why aren't people listening to my podcast? Well, it's probably because they're walking away because they're not interested. And so you kind of have to keep a handle on things. You kind of have to constantly be making sure that you're producing content that your audience really loves, but you're also loving what you're producing. And so that's like this constant circle of like, it's fun and stress, and it kind of works hand in hand. I love it personally. I think it's great. I have a great team that I get to work with, and I have a great audience that I get to actually be friends with. There's great people in the Telegram group that chat on a daily basis. Now, there's 80 people in there, members, and I highly doubt that out of the 80, like, I think maybe 5 actually chat on a daily basis. And I was thinking about going in there and doing like an actual cleanse of like, okay, you haven't like really interacted with anyone for the past like year, because I'm going to boot you out and getting some like fresh blood in there. So, you know, it's fun. I would say it's overall 90% fun, 10% stress. And that's because I'm not making money off of it. Ta-da. Now I am putting money into it, but I'm not getting money out of it. And I'm okay with it. It's a hobby and I'm volunteering my time. And so is the rest of my team. They know that 100% down. Now I do pay my graphic designer, Dear Dog, specific, you know, things when it comes to like last minute commissions that I might need for a thumbnail or for art or for an ad that I need to go out. But then other than that, everything is pretty much volunteer basis. So there's that answer. Now going on to Slushy Flamingo does ask, what is my opinion on the new format? Do you like it more than the old one? Yes and no. It's kind of like a double-edged sword, right? So I've always wanted to implement shorter episodes, and I've been wanting to do this for years. It's something I've always wanted to do on the back burner, but we've never been able to really implement it because usually the topics that we have take up so much time, and they always have taken up at least an hour, if not a little bit more. But I have paid attention to some emails and I have talked with some people. Not everyone has an unlimited data plan on their phone. Not everyone has a computer or a laptop or a tablet. And so I want to make sure that when we are producing episodes that they're a little bit shorter now, so it's easier for them to download it. It's not taking up as much data when they're doing so, and so that they can go ahead and still use their phone for other things that are more important. So there's one reason right there. The new format is easier on my life, along with the rest of my hosts, because it's easier to edit. It doesn't take as much time to do so. I can pop out an episode in like legitimately 45 minutes or less and have it ready to go. It really doesn't take much time either to really plan out an episode either, because you can only ask so many questions or go over so many things in a particular episode itself. So it's really, really nice. Now we do have like types of things. Like, for instance, we are going to be interviewing Paco Panda. And I do plan on that episode being longer than 30 minutes, because that's going to be a special guest that I know that's going to take a longer piece. It's going to take a longer time to do, and I'm okay with that. That is part of the new format, because we did say that we'll have like one or two really special guests throughout the season, and those special guests will have a longer time than per se like the 30 minutes or so. What I don't like about the new format though is that you can't get as much in 30 minutes. So for topics such as like deep topics about LGBTQ community, which is huge for us because we're all like, our whole team is LGBTQ friendly. We can't really get as much like emphasis and deepness into that in such a small time frame. Sorry, I'm trying to like prevent a burp. And it also doesn't taste great either. I'm not really sure why. Ew. So I don't know. It's kind of like, it's too soon to tell. Like, I love it because it frees up more time for me and my husband, and we can do more things throughout the week, and it takes up less time for editing. But it also is a double-edged sword, because then it's less time for you guys to listen to other things. And it's less you get to listen to us. But then again, this is an experimental season. So I kind of need to see more episodes in the future to see how well this plays out. So far, the stats look really good, but that's only been, we've only done like what, 2-3 episodes so far. So I won't know until mid-season if this is working or not. And then if it's not, then we'll probably revert back to the hour-long episodes. But until then, we'll probably just continue along with this. Asher asked in the Telegram chat if we would be considered on doing a creative writing episode. Hells yes. In fact, I've actually had a couple of cool ideas. One idea I think would be really fun to do is do a writing episode where, well, a story writing episode where one of us, the host, will start off writing a story, and then we stop and we take that story and then we forward that on to, let's say, one fan. And the fan then picks up from there and writes like 3 sentences to the story, and then forwards that back to us. And then we forward that off to another fan, and they then write 3 additional sentences to that storyline. And they forward that back, and we just consistently go back and forth until we have a full, like, you know, like 3 paragraph story. And then we read that out loud on our show. And we kind of go off of that. Or, you know, we can do like readings of like creative stories that people have written. We could do poems. We haven't done poems for really, really a long time. And I'd love to do poems again, because there's lots of fun ways to do poems. So yes. Dakota in Telegram wants to know, what's the strangest episode you've ever done on Straight from the Muzzle? The strangest episode was the one that we did for the puppy magazine, or well, the Omer magazine. And that's because I'm always a little weary about, because like a lot of our audience is younger, like younger, you know, like under 18, and then the other part of the audience is over 18. And so I'm always really nervous that, like, when they write in, they're like, I love your podcast. And I'm like, we swear a lot in our show, or, you know, we talk about certain things. And I'm just like, am I really that good of an influence? I like, oh shoot. I mean, I'm glad they like us, but oh shoot, you know? And so when we did that one, I was just a little worried, but at the same time, it's a good piece of the LGBTQ community. It's something that we kind of need in our community. And we did market as like, you need to sign in order to like actually listen to this episode, because it is one of those particular ones that does require additional like acknowledgement. So that was one of the stranger ones to do, just because it was just out of my comfort zone, oddly enough. But yeah, that was probably one of the strangest ones I've done for a long time. But yeah, that's all the questions we have. So thanks for sending those in. And before we go, we have one last message from Ace, and then we will see you guys on our next episode. Bye.
And for Straight from the Muzzle listeners who have listened to the entire way through, here is a special announcement just for you. So over the course of lockdown, myself and Space got together and we organized another crossover episode coming out on March 7th, 2021 at 1 p.m. GMT, which will be episode number 46. Now, I really hope you guys enjoy this special episode. I worked so hard on it. Space was so amazing to come on. And it's really strange to have another furry podcaster on another furry podcaster show. But not to give too much away, but Space is talking about the origins of Straight from the Muzzle, the reason why everything is the way it is, and the history of fur media. Do feel free to check it out and let me know what you think. And I really hope you guys enjoy.